Hello, welcome to another Social Dilemma podcast. This one's a bit different because I am also live on TikTok. I wonder if I should go live on Instagram instead. Can you even... So I'm clicking around while I'm talking, which is probably a mistake. I know that now that you can upload via desktop to Instagram, which is great. You can do video and photos, finally. I wish you could do stories, and I wish you could go live from your webcam. I think that would make it way more of a sort of fluid experience. I should have, one, not drunk a really cold drink because my throat already starts to hurt, but also thought of a plan of things to talk about. there is a couple of things, actually. So one, I want to talk about the big news in Facebook, which is the metaverse. Someone on TikTok said, hi, Queen, and also, shouldn't you be in school? Thanks very much, I'm 38 years old. Appreciate it, though. So on the Facebook metaverse, it's been coming for a long time. It's been seen in, like, Ready Player One and all sorts of other games where the main character puts on a headset and then is immersed into, a new role. A new world, even. That's that cold drink hurt my throat again. So they go into a new world and then they immerse themselves and they meet other people who are also there. But it's so new that I think we have to consider the sort of ramifications and what it's going to be like trying to navigate a new place. I mean, as a dad, as a parent, we have to be the boundaries and the gateway to everything as a parent. You know, like if a kid's hitting, you're not supposed to say, we don't hit in this family. We say, I'm going to sit with you and hold you, like, snugly if I have to, until you feel like you can talk about through your feelings and everything else. Excuse me. So as a parent, and we have to navigate this new metaverse where our children will be talking to people who they may not have previously met, and being in worlds and in situations where they haven't already been. And I think that is fraught with sort of danger, but also opportunity. It can give them, you know, experience being an astronaut or an athlete or doing other things that perhaps they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. Having said that, we need to make sure that there are certain guidelines and there's certain things that we can do to help them navigate this new world and interact with people who they haven't previously been able to interact with. Some nice, some not so nice. And what to do in those situations. It's all very well saying, well, if people are being mean on, I don't know, Instagram or TikTok or whatever, you can block them, you can delete them, you can mute them, whatever. But if they're there in person and it's a much more of a personal experience, it feels a lot more real because for all intents and purposes, it is real. And so we have to be able to, I think, help guide them through this, and to be able to do that, we need to be joining them on this exploratory experience. And I just wrote a blog about it on my website, socialdad.ca, and I think the sort of overall point of what I'm sort of guiding to is that we need to be there to help them understand as we learn the whole sort of metaverse and the ways of interacting. I think it's hugely complicated. I think it's something that we're going to be launched into so fast. I don't think, at least to start with, we're going to have the tools or the wherewithal or the sort of the foresight to be able to navigate it in the way, like, with the gravity that it actually brings. Like it's going into a whole new world. Completely blindfolded. There's no sort of prerequisites. There's no advanced learning that we would go in with we put on the headset and we're off. And it's big, for the lack of a better word. And I think it I think it needs, I don't know, like, who's in charge of the metaverse? Who is responsible for making sure that people are sharing news that is true? Or who's in charge of making sure that there aren't creeps or people doing illegal things and that kind of thing? And then how do we ensure that the people in charge of it are acting in our best interest and not just their own? Is it going to be advertising? Is that, you know, there's endless things. Like, this is a new universe where we're just jumping into, and I don't know. I'm excited about it. I can't wait, but also it's going to be a lot. Okay, that's off my chest. So yeah, so on these podcasts, what I normally do is interview someone or have a chat or let people call in and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? How's life? Because over the past few years, it's been interesting. There's been a lot to talk about. There's been opportunities to... I just stopped recording there. That was clever. I was clicking around looking for voice messages and I pressed stop. So yeah, so it's... again, I should have come up with a plan before even starting this. So also, I am, as well as a fumbling podcaster, I'm also a dad blogger, and I work with a lot of brands, and I'm really, really happy to be able to do that. It lets me talk to my audience and people sort of like-minded about the things that I enjoy about new products, about things that I use on a daily basis, or things that I've never used before, but I'm introduced to it through the blog, and I get to share my excitement. I don't talk about things that I don't enjoy, or things like gambling, or I don't know, anything illegal, anything, you know, frowned upon, let's say, as a family life. Not only because it's not really something that I have an interest in. And so I don't think it's right for me to say. Like, I was asked to talk about a particular political party in the run-up to the Canadian election. And I didn't think that I was the right person to talk about it. One, because I'm a permanent resident but not a citizen, so I'm not actually allowed to vote. And so I don't think that I should be talking about it. But also, I didn't know enough about the election or about the political parties and things, because I'm not allowed to vote yet until I become a citizen. Sorry for sniffing. It's not for me to say. But I did do a campaign with a organization that encourages voting for whoever you think should be in party. It's mainly to go and vote, but also to think about who's doing most for the environment, without saying specific parties. So I think that was, you know, a decent middle ground that I was happy to do. I recently went to the Amazon, Amazon distribution center in Delta in BC. And that was interesting. I found it really interesting because there was a surprising amount of things that the company was doing in order to support their employees. Now, I always thought that Amazon was it's just a place where you could order stuff, and I don't really give it much thought. You hear some stuff on social media, but who knows how it was true and what's not. But so I went there, and I got shown in, and as well as all the COVID-friendly measures and things, you know, distancing, masks, washing hands, sanitization stations, all that kind of stuff. They were doing like team stretching beforehand to alleviate workplace injuries. Which makes sense from a business side of things, but it's also nice to know as an employee. They were doing things like work education programs. They were doing like extended courses where they supported the tuition. They did flexible schedules so that if you have like if you've got a kid and you need to take time off to go and take them to school or whatever, then they allowed, like, that was fine. And what I wanted to know is, why is that such a faux pas in a normal 9-to-5 office environment? Like, when I had to leave at 5 o'clock, this is a previous job, when I had to leave at 5 o'clock on the dot so that I could get home in time, so that I would beat the traffic and I wouldn't spend 3 hours in traffic and then not be able to see my daughter, my old boss said, "You're the only person who leaves on the dot. It shows you're not a team player." And that was the first hint I knew that was a bad company. And I quit shortly after that. I thought, I'm not going to be there. Jordan says, "Hi from Canada." I'm also in Canada. I'm in Vancouver. Thank you for coming into the TikTok. Socialdad.ca on TikTok. And my blog. I'm scratching my head with this, like, AccuBall. It's a AccuPressure. It's like a really spiky ball. And it's got fluff on it because it keeps falling on the floor. But it's really satisfying to, like, squeeze. And they sent me some stuff as well. And it's, they sent me a, do you remember, like, they always showed it from, like, a Far Eastern country. And it's got sort of a meme of, like, someone lying down on a bed of nails. And I can't remember which country they did. Oh, wow, this person's from Aklavik Northwest Territories. That's cool. I've never been there. And so this bed of nails, and it looked like it was a great magical trick that they must have done with huge mindfulness and being awfully skilled and resistant to pain, like walking on hot coals. But anyway, so this company, Accu, A-K-U, A-K-U, Accu, Accu, this was like acupressure, sent me this rubber mat. And it had these little spikes, which I'm showing on my TikTok. They're like, I don't know, maybe a centimeter, and they're metal all across it. And so I thought, oh, this is great. This is going to feel amazing. And so I take off my shoes and socks, put it on the floor, stand on it. And oh, my word, that was so painful. Because what I didn't know was, you're not supposed to stand on it straight away. You're supposed to put it on the floor and then, while sitting, gently sort of lean into it and rest your feet. It hurt a lot. So I didn't do that again, but I do keep it under my desk. And every now and again, I'll take off my shoes and stuff. Well, I'm in Canada, so we don't wear shoes inside, but my socks off, and then I put my feet on it, and it's really nice. And so this ball, it's about 2 inches across. And I sort of grab it and I make the spikes go in the very middle part of my hand, and it's so satisfying. And I don't know why, I don't know what kind of pressure point it is, but I love it. So that's what's going on. Also, I was let go from my job recently, like the other Friday, and I wasn't surprised at all. I was sad because it's a job that I love for a company that I will continue to champion for. However, I was let go not because of anything I did, which is, I think, the frustrating part. It was they had a new marketing director and he wanted to go in a new direction. I'm doing the little bunny ears quote things, which means they don't have to provide any sort of real answer. They just they changed their mind and they want to go the agency route. And, you know, more power to them. Hope they continue to do well because it's an amazing product, but whatever. I shall miss the friends I've met. But that does give me the great opportunity. And this is why I wasn't that bothered about it. Like, I was upset because I liked working there. I liked the product and I liked the people more than anything. But I was kind of relieved a bit, mainly because my blog, socialdad.ca, keeps me so busy that it's really hard to do that and anything else, especially in Q4, the last couple of months of of the year because all these brands want to advertise their Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then Christmas. And excuse me, for the brands, these are the biggest months in generating revenue that they have all year, especially for brands who don't tend to go on sales. And even ones who do, they do a bit of extra sales and then they just go nuts and they get in all the profits. I remember when I was working at a particular furniture store brand, Canadian wide, and I was in their head office managing their social media, and we would do about maybe 30% of our yearly revenue in 1 week, over Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then the beginning of the Christmas sale. It went absolutely gangbusters. It was crazy busy. It was great on social, long nights, answering questions, guiding people to the right product, sorting out sort of out of stock messages and that kind of thing. But yeah, it was big. And so that's what other brands want to use influencers for now, and content creators and bloggers and everything else, because it's a great way for them to find a new audience and get the people who are talking to people to talk about their messaging and say, hey, I don't know, Amazon or Best Buy or something, I'm having this great sale, you can buy, get a big TV for, I don't know, $500 off or something, instead of their competition. And so brands are, one, wanting people to get their messaging out, but two, scoop up as many influencers as you can who talk to your ideal audience and have them sign non-compete agreements, so that once they have that person, they're not allowed to talk about anybody else. And so you have this, as the brand, you have this person who is your mouthpiece and only yours. And so they own you for, I don't know, until Christmas or after Christmas and stuff, and then you can do what you want. So it's really, it's interesting to see the kinds of brands who want to talk to you. And they're very keen to scoop up as many people as they can. However, some of them don't know how to work with influencers, and they either micromanage, or they say, you know, I want to make sure that you talk in this particular language, in this particular style, and I want you to make sure that the photo has this and this and this in it, and then you do it and you spend ages making it, and then you send it back and they've got edits and they've got re-edits and they've got another load of re-edits, because you know that along the line, like a middle manager has come in and saying, oh, don't like purple. Which is something a VP of marketing once told us, previous company. And so we had to go through all of our advertising things. She was new to the company. She didn't like purple, but it was one of our brand colors. So we had to go through all of our advertising, all of our social media, and remove purple. She didn't like purple. Somewhere upon her life, there was an incident with something that was purple. Maybe she got hit in the head with the blueberry. That's about 6 months of work we had to do. So anyway, brands, if you're going to work with content creators, let them do what they do. They're good at it. That's why they are doing what they do. And also another thing. I just recently got back from my yearly camping trip with my friends for the Five Dads Go Wild trip, where we all go to Manning Park and we hope for snow. I hope for snow. The others don't particularly want to. They like summer camping. But four other dad bloggers and I go, and we were sponsored by House of Knives, and Finley, a Canadian, very small but incredibly good quality clothing company. They make hoodies and socks, shirts, hats, really nice. Finley, Finnelly, House of Knives, Shopper Plus Canada, Mountain View Brewing gave us some of the beer. They're based in Hope, a new, very small brewery, and they're in Hope, BC, and absolutely love it. The beer is nice. The people are so great. The Blue Moose Cafe in Hope as well, which is always our first stop off. They gave us coffee, and they treated us very nicely, and they even gave us lunch on our way there. So that was really cool. trying to think if anyone else. We got some Arc'teryx jackets as well, which was really kind of a friend of mine. And we had a great time. And so this is an event where we don't take the kids, we don't take our partners. We just go and we talk about being a dad, and we talk about content creation, and we talk about what it's like to be a dad and be a blogger and photography tips and tricks, and we learned how to do night sky photography. We hadn't done that. I hadn't done that in, I don't know, maybe 20 years or something. But it was a really cool experience, and we were lucky enough that it didn't snow or rain on the second night. So someone on TikTok said, OMG, you kind of like Tim Tales. You should look him up. I'm going to look him up right now. I hope that's a compliment. Tim Tales. That is, I don't know who that is. okay. Do not look him up. Don't look him up. thanks. okay, that kind of threw me through a loop. But so camping, that's all good. Was fantastic, and it's a really, really good experience for us to get together and just, like, there's no pressure and there's no expectations from each other. Just we can just sort of be completely relaxed, and we can talk about whatever we want. Though we always end up talking about new cameras and what's the best kind of lenses and like what's the right settings for doing cloudy days or whatever, and also like the changing algorithms in TikTok and Instagram and all that. But what we're thinking about doing next time, or maybe a separate thing, is to hold it like a bigger event. And so we would have not even classes, because we want it to be very casual still. And so what I was sort of thinking as a kind of middle ground, I don't want it to be like an event. I want it to be camping with friends, but have more than just the five of us, and have people who are really, they're experts in their particular field, whether it's therapy or some sort of counseling. There's people who are experts in photography, there's people who are experts in social media, there's experts in writing, there's experts in parenting. I think that would be a really interesting thing, but they're not going to hold seminars, because part of the whole trip is that we can just chill out and relax. And so that was the hard part, like, how do we get people to talk with, or these experts to talk about what they like doing or what they're experts in their fields, but then not have to make people listen to a presentation or sit in a room or watch a PowerPoint thing, because that just sounds dry and it's not fun. So what I was thinking is that we get these professionals or these experts to sort of guide conversations throughout the 3 or 4 days that we hold the event for. So you can, like, I don't know, let's say there's a therapist, and he will say, I'm going to go hang out by the lake. If you want to chat, come and join me. And so you can go and have a chat. Or if there's like a hiking and nature expert, he can, or she can, or they can lead a hike. And they can talk about whatever as they see it, as they walk around. People can ask questions. But at no point are they forced to sit down and listen to a thing for 45 minutes, because it's just, like, no one wants to do that. It's like school or college. Like, great, it's a good way to learn, but it's boring. I don't learn like that. I learn in context. And so if I'm going to talk to a therapist or something, I want it to be conversational, and I want it to be in somewhere where I feel comfortable. I don't want to sit in an office. I want to have a chat in nature. I want to be walking through the trees, and I want to sort of be walking side by side instead of sort of confrontationally face to face. And I'm sure some will look into that and say, well, it doesn't have to be confrontation, just keep face to face. So that's my idea. How to run that kind of thing, I don't know. In theory, I don't think it would be that hard, but I think that it has possibility to become very complex, because people might start looking to me as the leader of the event to look after their needs. And if they need a drink, or if they need, so I'm going to have to treat it, or we're going to have to treat it like a, everyone's going camping, everyone looks after their own meals, everyone looks after their own refreshments and, I don't know, needs. Excuse me. But these people will be here to join us. And if you want to have a conversation with them, they are here as fellow campers. They are experts in this particular field. So if that's something you want to talk about, go for it. Otherwise, we're all here to camp and have a good time. And that way, I think it will be more beneficial to everybody. Beneficial to me, because I love camping and doing these kinds of events, and I would love to talk to these kinds of people. And the more dads who come, the better. But I think that more people could enjoy the opportunity of learning without feeling like they're pressured to. If you don't want to talk to any of these people, or if you want to talk to them just as mates and fellow guys, or mums or dads or whoever, because I haven't said, I don't know if it's going to be just dads. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, I don't know. Then you know, just want to have a chat with them and say, hey, how you doing? And not talk about anything like that, then that's fine too. Like, they're still people who like camping, or they want to be out with us. So anyway, that's my idea. I don't know how to run with it. I don't know who the sponsors will be. Probably House of Knives, because they're awesome and they help us a lot. And their products are great. I have many of their pocket knives and flashlights and everything. I've got one in almost every bag. So I have rambled on much too long. The next one will have a guest. Not sure who. I put the word out on Twitter. If anyone wants to join me, they may. They can just call in and we can have a chat about whatever you want. Yeah. So thanks very much, and have a lovely day.